And good afternoon, morning, evening, whatever it is for our listeners out there. This is Reverend Debbie Burton of Angelic Encounters, and I am delighted to be here with my brother, TJ, and a very, very, very dear friend of mine, Sandy Anderson. Say hi, Sandy.
Hi.
And TJ and I have been discussing this, and we both felt this is really important to have Sandy to get Sandy out here for and just out there for everybody's knowledge. Number one, she is a 50 plus year cancer survivor. Now, she had cancer as a very young child. And so, as far as I know, she's the youngest cancer survivor. But what is so amazing to me is the way that Sandy, the way you handled this, how you overcame this battle, and just the visualizations you used before you even knew there was such a thing in your conscious mind. And to me, it's so important for you to get that message out there initially, and then how your spiritual journey has just blown open at such a young age, and the things, the blessings that you've received, continue to receive, and of course, challenges we all have. But at this point, I think I just need to shut up and you need to go with it, girlfriend.
Okay. I'm Sandy, and I am a 51-year survivor of cancer. The type of cancer I had was ovarian. I started having a menstrual cycle at the age of 9, which went normal at first, but eventually became abnormal. And by the time we had caught it, the tumor had grown so large, I was dying. It was killing me. Mm. Mm. In April of 1962, I had surgery to remove the tumor.
Let me interrupt real quick, Cindy, because I want to ask. Now, this tumor, was it attached? You did say ovarian, so was it how large a tumor was it?
It was attached to the right ovary.
Okay.
It was quite large. I know it was, I read my bio on it that they gave me. I know it was quite large. It was on like a pedicle, like a thing that it attached itself to. Okay. And it was twisted. I know it was gray. I looked like I was probably at 9 years old, pregnant, maybe about 8 months pregnant.
God bless
you. I couldn't even wear regular clothes. My parents, we had been into Hawaii, and my mom had picked up some muumuus, and that's the thing I could wear.
Mm. Okay, sure.
They did, when they did the surgery and they did biopsy, they found it was malignant, so I had to start. At the time, chemotherapy was, a lot of it was fairly new.
Yeah.
So I was in the hospital and they started me on chemo, which was the first dose was quite large and I was quite sick. They gave me the same dose they would have given an adult. They realized their mistake and they talked to others, doctors, researchers, and they changed it to a little bit, so many cc's for 5 days a week. And then I was also on two oral meds at the time, chlorambucil and methotrexate, which methotrexate right now is used for like rheumatoid arthritis and such.
Okay, sure.
I got through it, that part, but I need to talk about before they even had taken me to the hospital.
Please, yeah.
The night that they took me in, I had gone up to my bedroom after eating dinner, and I was laying on the bed. It was pitch black in the room, and I could feel my body. I could feel I was dying. At this point, I thought, I'm going to die. So it was pitch black, and all of a sudden, I looked to the side of me, and there was a white light. It was a being, a person, like a maybe an angel, or at the time I was
light,
Catholic,
man.
And I thought maybe it was the Virgin Mary.
Sure.
At the time I didn't know. And then I looked ahead of me, and this beautiful, directly ahead of me, like a doorway, but more like oval. Mm-hmm. And I could feel such love coming through it, and I could almost hear voices. And I wanted to go.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden there was like this discussion going on about me. Like, whether I should stay, whether I should go, was my choice. And I actually made the choice. I could have gone, because I was a child. I could have gone and changed it, gone and died. But I chose to stay. And they told me it was going to be, I would have a fairly rough life, but I chose to stay. And I do believe, I kind of made that choice on the other side. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it was like I knew I was going to survive this cancer no matter what. I knew I was going to survive it. And I did.
Why do you think you got it? I mean, scientifically, there's an answer, but
there
is
scientifically an answer.
But why do you think beyond
actually
that?
They don't have too much of an answer? It was called a malignant teratoma. Teratomas are usually benign, and they're usually okay. You start off in your mother. Your mother gets pregnant. It starts off as cell division, and then it goes into a thing called a zygote. And the zygote starts going into the fetal stage. When it starts going to the fetal stage, sometimes cells can break off, say a brain cell, or it could be any kind of cell anywhere. We'll say it's a brain cell because I think I have one missing anyway.
Join the crowd. Yeah.
Anyway,
so it's trapped. Yeah.
Don't ask me because I've got that one's missing and it's gone. And it's never coming back. But evidently, the brain cell travels down and it ends up, the ovaries are being formed. So it gets itself in my right ovary. Well, it stays dormant for so long. Then something, either me having my first menstrual cycle woke it up, or it just woke up the menstrual cycle. I don't know.
You know what? I guess what I'm asking, Sandy, is from a perspective outside of a physical perspective, mm-hmm. because you and I were talking about this before.
Yes.
Why do you really think you had this?
I chose it. I think I chose to have cancer and to survive it it's kind of comes from a higher power to help maybe more research into cancer, to help human beings, help us elevate us to a higher level.
Well, just your story alone of how you started to visualize.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, it was very rough on me because I, all summer long, was in third grade at the time, which I ended up having to repeat when I went to school in September. And before that, I mean, I would get chemotherapy in the day when I had it. They didn't have so you didn't get sick. Didn't have anything. Yeah. You took the chemo and I got sick. Well, I was back in grade school and I was the week I had to have my chemo. And that Monday I had my chemo, came home and had dinner and went to bed and I was up. I swear, I don't think I got, luckily if I got 2-3 hours sleep. So I went to bed, and I think out of desperation, I always prayed. I prayed, and I asked, I need help. I need to get some sleep. I need help. And something came to me, and I think it was from a higher power that came in and said, talk to your body. Calm your body down. So I started talking to my body. I started talking to my toes, my feet, as I moved it up, and I started talking to my abdomen where the problems were. And I remember also thinking, I wonder if I could put the white light of the Holy Spirit in me. You know, God's light, Jesus' light, mm-hmm. or what do you want from the Creator?
That's
so
right.
I brought that in, and I put that in me, and I did. I actually got some more sleep that night, and after that, I started to gradually build on it. I would pray, but no, it's for myself, but pray for the whole world, bring the white light of the Holy Spirit around myself, put the white light, this beautiful, pure light around the earth, to heal myself, just other people as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I started projecting myself. I started seeing myself as whole and healthy. Not sick, but healthy.
And you were doing this before anybody else was really talking?
I was doing it long before anybody else had done this. Like, what's it? I saw it was many years later. It was about, let's see, I was 9 when I started doing that. I must have been about maybe 11 when I saw an article in Newsweek that was talking about mind over matter, and they were talking about how people could visualize. Right. I was already doing it.
Right. So you're breaking ground doing that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is part of your story to let other people know that. How many people, I mean, just, we were talking about Judy, who's been on my show, and you've been assistance to her.
Mm-hmm.
She
yes.
had a, you have to go from, mm-hmm. don't you somewhere, Sandy, have to go from, I think this might work, I believe it will, to, I know, right?
Yes, exactly.
In order to overcome mm-hmm. things, you have to know.
You have to know. Mm-hmm. You have to know. And I think it's something I need, now I'm ready to share it,
that's
what I did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That to me, I mean, that's your...
It's kind of coming out of the surviving cancer closet for 51 years,
right.
You know. I don't even know if I've never met anybody that's survived as long as I have.
Really?
As far as I know. There might be others out there. And if there are, hey, come forward.
Yeah.
Right. We need you. Mm-hmm. People need you. I mean, one thing Judy told me, it was so wonderful to meet someone who survived it, because she had been, you know, talking to people. But every time she talked to somebody, they'd tell her about an aunt so-and-so or uncle this. But they died.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or
they got over it, and then it came back.
Came back. Mm-hmm. Mine hasn't come back.
Many of the diseases, you know, I've heard this over and over, and I'm guessing this is something that maybe you've come across as well, but a lot of it is brought on by how we go through life with energy around us. Negative, exactly. You know, in your case, it was probably a defect, if you want to call it that, but that still is grand design.
An anomaly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
I don't think people are defect. I call it anomalies.
Well, I'm sorry. That's,
that's okay. That's okay. It's actually I just like the term better.
Yeah. And so, but a lot of people that get sick also draw it in because of maybe they're holding on to a negative energy as well.
It could be negative energy. It could be stress combination with that negative energy.
And so the body, when it's out of balance, it's going to...
When it's out of balance, that's why it's called dis-ease.
Yeah.
You're not at ease.
But your story is a little different because you didn't have that.
I didn't have that.
You just were fortunate enough to be born with it.
Or unfortunate enough.
No, it's been a blessing, though.
It has been a blessing. It's been a curse, but it's been a blessing in some ways, too.
This is where I'd like to interject real quickly here, too, Sandy. You're talking about, I think you briefly touched on this during our interview, that you feel that you made this contract, part of your sacred contract, to take this on, gosh, that sounds so lame. I hate to say that people would agree to take on something, you know, a disease or a tough situation, but it is done out of love, out of sacrifice for the greater good. Look at how many people have learned and grown from your experience, not only in the medical community, but those that are facing this kind of a challenge or other challenges. And to see that somebody, so as a young child, so close still to the other side, you already had these gifts and you've been able to share these with people.
I agree. It is I chose to do this, have this happen to me, and I do believe it's to the greater good. Is to help. I think it's to help raise our energies. It's to help the medical community. I think it's also to help people not be so afraid of disease, right. And not be so afraid of dying. There really is no death.
Right, it's just a change in form.
It's just a change in form.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question. Did you know, Sandy, and I don't recall ever asking you this before, but did you, when that diagnosis was first given to your parents, to you, were you told at that time that this would in all likelihood be a fatal event? And did you know that? Did they share that with you?
They did not. I knew it, though.
Hmm. Okay. I knew
that it could be
a
fatal
thing for you to
event
talk about, too.
Because I knew it. It just seemed like what was going on with me was so... It was very traumatic. Traumatic. And as a child, I was very perceptive. Mm-hmm. And you pick up from adults, even though they don't say to you, you still can... Children read body language better than what we think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're more intuitive than what we give them credit for. Yeah. And I picked it up. Mm-hmm. I knew what was going on with me was very serious. Mm-hmm. And there was a possibility. I knew that I wouldn't survive it. Mm-hmm. But I chose to survive it. I was given a choice, and I chose it.
Do you recall if back at that time, I understand exactly what you mean, that you were able to pick up on those, this isn't a good thing, from the adults around you. And when that realization came to you that, I might not be here on this earth much longer with this, how did you feel? What was your reaction? Do you remember? Was this something you viewed with fear? Was it something you're like, I could care less, or, you know, not to be cavalier about this.
I didn't have any fear.
Okay. That's very important to point
out,
too.
There was absolutely no fear. I took it, okay, if that happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. And I believe children handle these things a lot better, and the one reason why, because we're closer to the other side. We're new to this side of the world, the side of the veil.
Right.
And I think we're so much closer to it that it's like, oh, you have that fatal youth, that youthful thing. Like, no. And if it does happen, okay. I'll just go back to, you know.
I'll be on the other side there and wait.
There was no fear. There was no fear. I don't remember feeling afraid at all.
I love that. I think that's so wonderful. I just love how inspirational this is. And I know it's going to help so many.
I think the reason why I didn't have any fear was because the night I was dying, I had a visit from someone from the other side.
Share that.
I was in the room. I had eaten supper, gone upstairs because I wasn't feeling well. And it was at night, and it was dark, and the room was pitch black. And laying there and just, you know, kind of drifting off, but not. And then I woke up, and because I was in a little bit of pain. And I looked over, and there was this beautiful, bright, white light standing by my bed. Okay. And it wasn't coming from outside.
Right.
It was a lot different. It almost had, like, little stars or little sparkles in it.
Yeah, yeah. I always say little glittery, like, sparkles.
Glittery, like, sparkles. Yeah. And then what opened up in front of me was like a white, like a doorway almost, but more oval, and it wasn't square.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I could hear people talking. And I could feel there was, like, love and comfort coming from this doorway.
Yeah.
And from this spiritual being.
Being next to you, sure.
And then there was like a discussion going on, and I was actually given a choice. I could have gone on, and it would have been all right. I wouldn't have to go through any more pain, no more pain, no more hurt. But if I chose to stay, it would be difficult.
Right.
Which one did I want to choose? And I chose to stay.
And again, that was that decision out of sacrifice for the greater good.
I believe sometimes children are given a choice. I do. Okay. I believe children, and I think the children choose to stay. And I don't think if you choose not to stay, it's okay too.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you choose to stay.
Why do you think it's just children? Don't you think adults?
Even adults, because you'll hear people who have gone through near death. And that was a near-death experience.
Right.
I know what it was. They chose to stay, and they chose to stay for... Everybody has a different reason.
And there's no right or wrong, is there?
There is no right
or
wrong.
If I'm a big chicken, I go, you know what? I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah. And it's okay.
That's okay, TJ. You'll learn it again next time.
That could happen. Yeah, that could happen.
We'll get you next time around.
Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from it. I think I learned humility. I learned that there are wonderful, beautiful people in this world, because I had a lot of wonderful, beautiful people on my side who helped me survive.
That's beautiful. I love hearing that.
So when you had this experience, how did that fit in with your religious beliefs? And how did that fit in with your family's understanding?
My religious beliefs, I was raised Catholic, but I was the kid in Catholic school who asked a lot of questions. Right. I was even a doubting what was saying in the Bible, and the priest was telling me. I flip to another page and say, well, what says this here? And it doesn't say that. And you say Adam and Eve were all of a sudden on the earth. Well, wait a minute here. That doesn't make sense. And there weren't any other people, but they had two sons. But who did sons have, you know, where'd the rest of us come from? Were there many? I remember asking the priest, were there many Adams and Eves? Well, there had to be black ones and white ones and yellow ones and red ones.
Yeah.
And I was given, no, there was only one of each. Is that spiritual or is it physical? It was very confusing to me. So I was a kid that asked a lot of questions and actually got in quite a bit of trouble when I was in catechism. In class.
So what did your family think of these things?
My mother has always been open to spiritual. You know, she was the one who was raised Catholic in a very strict family. That what you see. But Catholics, they have saints. And people have had visitations, they say, from Mother Mary. Mm-hmm. And if you can have a visitation from Mother Mary, how come you can't have a visitation from a fairy?
Yeah.
That's exactly
Mother
right.
Fairy.
Mother Mary Fairy. Okay. So, I don't know. I just, to me, if you can have a visitation. My mother even thought the same thing. If you can have a visitation by this person or this thing, why can't you have a visitation from other things?
Absolutely.
Especially if you've had especially if you had experiences at a young age or at some time in your life where you know somebody that has, how do you explain those things, you know? And so that's what's been my great teacher, and I'm guessing yours as well, is like these things happen to you and you go, well, there's more.
There is more.
Because when you start talking about questioning things, that was the same way. It's like, no, there's more. Come on.
There's got to be more. Come on, tell me more. I want to hear more things, you know? I want to hear who's, are people seeing the same thing as I'm seeing?
So then where did you go? Well, you said now that you've learned to do some of the healing things as well, and you're eventually going to move in that direction?
Eventually. I've been working up to it.
What kind of things do you do to help others?
Well, I do talk to cancer patients, people who are going through cancer right now, and I let them know my story and how long I've survived it, because they want to hear survivor stories.
Right.
Yes, they do. I think a lot of them are getting tired of hearing people coming up to them and saying, "Why, my Uncle Joe had cancer, but he didn't make it, he passed away," or "My Aunt Jane had cancer, and she fought one time and beat it, and then it came back again." Well, you're telling someone who's going through basically hell in their lives. Give them a little bit. Don't tell them those stories. I mean, just don't say it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Keep your mouth. You know, just if you find someone who has survived cancer, tell them about that story. Mm-hmm. It gives them encouragement. I think it gives them some peace of mind.
Not only that, but aren't you like programming people?
That's right.
It's almost like, oh, yeah, well, if they died, that means I'm going to die too. Mm-hmm. See, it's a child. You don't have that. Even if people, I don't remember people ever coming up to say it, telling me somebody died, or I don't remember that. I don't, like I said, I didn't meet that many children who had cancer besides me. Eventually, I did meet one who had the same kind of cancer as I had, and yes, she did pass away, but hers had metastasized where mine hadn't. And I knew she was going to die. Hmm. I could tell looking at her and looking at myself. My hair had grown back. Compared to her, I looked a lot healthier. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of given many gifts, even though something was taken from me. I'm a firm believer, something's taken, you're given a lot of gifts in return. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She and I touched, we hugged, and I knew at that instant she wasn't going to make it. Mm. I could see her.
And past. You know this now with people you come across.
I do. Mm-hmm. Many times I touch someone who's...
And how is that a gift? I mean, do you go, hey, you know what? Guess what? I just found something out.
I never tell them that.
You might want to go on that trip.
It's a gift, and it's not a gift. But I think it's a gift, and I've got to learn. I'm trying to learn. I'm reading a lot of books on it and trying to learn how I can approach this subject. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the ways I can do it is telling my story.
Right.
And that I am a survivor. And others can be survivors as well. I believe that I'm a firm believer, some people do faith healing, and I have nothing against that. I think it's faith, but I think you also need the doctors and the medication, but I think you can make it work for yourself if you truly, truly want to. And if it really is what you've written for yourself, mm-hmm. you may have written for yourself that you are to die from it.
But can we change that?
I believe we can.
Yeah, I believe
so. I don't think it's written in stone on the other side.
I don't think so, neither.
I think
it's... Because you know what? Mm-hmm. We can come back and do it again. You know, I changed my mind this time around, God. I don't think I want to get hit by that rock. You don't have to drop it on me. I'll wait till next time. We're good. That bus doesn't have to run me over. We're good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, haven't I done this before? If I've lived many, 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 many times... Which all of us, probably in this room have, right?
Yep.
Yes.
How many times do I got to get shot with an arrow or whatever? You know?
Or I finally get the message.
Run through with a sword or die of a disease or, mm-hmm. you know, aren't we moving? You and I talk, Sandy. Aren't we moving in a direction where a lot of this is going to be changing because the earth is changing and we've come into this time of more light energy? And so we're moving in that direction. So disease is maybe going to become a thing of the past someday.
I believe that. I believe we're changing. Earth is changing. The world is changing. You're seeing more children even coming into the world who are, what do they call them, indigos?
Yeah, and crystal children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We kind of were leaders of the pack there.
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe that. I don't think anything's written in stone. I think...
No.
Everything can be changed.
God gave us all free will. It's almost the way my understanding that I was given from the universe, from the angels on this, is when we make our sacred contracts, we don't so much write in there, okay, at 9 years of age, I'm going to get cancer, and I'm going to cross at that time, whatever. It could be at 9 years of age when you're sitting there with your angels and you say, okay, at 9 years of age, I want to help the doctors learn how to cure disease. I want to help others learn how to handle children when they're facing a horrendous battle, a health battle, whatever it is. So you're not given what exactly is going to happen, the play-by-play, but the overall, the message.
It's more like an overview.
That's exactly correct.
It's an overview.
Exactly correct.
And then I think as you go along in life, things are added, things are taken away.
We are the ones that add it and take it away?
I believe so.
And
why wouldn't we be?
I agree. And so do we, because I've heard this from more than one person, do we maybe plan a lot of this when we're sleeping? Do we travel outside of our body and meet with others and say, hey, you know what, TJ, I'm going to come on your show tomorrow. By the way, I'm going to bring a sword and I'm going to run it through you because I owed you from another lifetime. There you go. And I'll say, that's
a
good idea. That's a good idea, Sandy. Knock yourself out.
And Sandy's going to say, there's no way I'm going to do that because I don't want to go to prison and meet Big Bertha the lesbian.
Well, I suppose.
Okay.
But the point is, we have the ability to alter it on the fly, so to speak.
We do.
Yes.
We have.
And we're always creating. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here to do, is create, right?
We're here to create. We're here to experience.
Right.
We're here to...
What is it you always say, Debbie?
We're here to learn and to teach and to have fun.
Yeah.
And to have fun are the best that we can, you know, but we are here to learn and to teach.
So you've learned Reiki. You both have learned Reiki,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've had incredible experiences with that?
Oh, I've had some. I do a lot of Reiki on the earth and a lot of long distance.
Yeah, Sandy has a very, very, her gifts, her focus is so much on earth, on elementals, and on herbs and flower remedies, and she's very, very in tune with nature and with the earth, and she works very, very close with that.
I haven't done a lot of Reiki on people, human
beings.
Something I'd like to change and something I'd like to get into. But the medical community... In some areas, larger areas, they've accepted it more. Small areas don't seem to accept it as well.
Well, this is an ancient teaching that's been around, and it's been forgotten or maybe deliberately hidden away.
Yeah, it could be one or the other. I agree. But what I do love, and Sandy just touched on this, and it's been like this for years, huh? Within like Miami, L.A., New York, Chicago, the big metropolis areas, that Reiki is recognized as a complement to other, you know, to Western medicine than with your doctors. And they have this practitioners right within the hospitals. And now it's becoming more and more, starting very slowly but surely, as is the way out here in the West, it's becoming more and more mainstream, which
I
love.
I'd like to see something like this happen in Escanaba.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see them bring in people who, along with standard medical procedures,
mm-hmm.
or for instance, medicines and such, bring it in, not in place of those medications, as something like what I did for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in something. I still took the medications, but I added something to it.
It's just treating the whole person holistically.
Holistically, exactly.
Is such an important message, I believe, for everybody in the Western world here. There's so much more involved. And Sandy, I cannot thank you enough for what you've experienced, your willingness to share with people, your willingness to finally come out of the cancer survivor closet, because you have such an inspirational message, so much hope, and so much that you can teach people, not just hearing the story of your survival. And that if you can do it, others can. But you're helping teach people. You're helping bring comfort and showing people, not only those that are facing this kind of a challenge, but those in the medical community and the caretakers and everybody. Just that component that I think is so important that's missing for so many people within this journey of healing.
I agree.
And I really think you need to get out there and give this message out there. And I'm hoping that people that hear this, if you want to hear more, contact me, contact TJ, whatever you need to do so that we can get Sandy. I think you need to go and go out there and talk to people about this a whole lot more. You really do.
I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go.
Fantastic.
That's why I did this show in the first place.
Love it.
Thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you.